Hello, and welcome to my new podcast, The Hidden Narratives, brought to you by Watcher Entertainment. I'm your host, Stephen Lim, and on this show, I will be talking to Asian Americans across all industries and sharing their untold stories. At least for the first few episodes, I will be focusing in on how the coronavirus specifically has impacted our community. Now, just for some context before we get into it, I do want to share with you why I'm starting this podcast. As many of you know, we are going through one of the most difficult times in recent history. Seeing all of this, I felt helpless. And worse, we've seen that Asian Americans have been hit the hardest. For example, I saw that the Times reported that the three main Chinatowns in New York had seen business drop from 50 to 70% in late January to early February. Just for context, by the way, that was a month before the first reported case of coronavirus happened in New York, which was March 1st. But I think that the thing that has broken my heart the most is that we have seen the most number of racist attacks on Asian Americans in my lifetime. I've seen videos and stories of Asian Americans get spit on, verbally assaulted, sucker punched, coughed on, egged, harassed, robbed, and even stabbed. We've gotten to a point where racism has become more contagious than the coronavirus. Not to mention, Trump is making matters worse by using language that is provoking these racist behaviors, such as calling the coronavirus a Chinese virus. But you know what? As I looked around, I started seeing that there was a glimmer of hope in the way that people were responding. For example, Andrew Yang. His nonprofit called Humanity First is donating $1 million to families dealing with COVID in the New York area. And social campaigns like hashtag hate is a virus and hashtag wash the hate. They've activated communities of people to speak up and use their influence to stand up against racism. And Asian American publications, they're working double time, such as NextShark and HuffPost Asian Voices, reporting stories by the hour that ensure that people are kept accountable so that Asian Americans are not wiped out of history. And that's why I'm starting this podcast. I can share these important but untold stories of how this pandemic is impacting people all around us. So, coming up on this very first episode is my good friend, Dookie Hong. Dookie is the chef and owner of three restaurants up in the San Francisco Bay Area region, which collectively he refers to as Sunday or Sunday Hospitality Group. Now, this conversation was recorded on March 21st, 2020, a particularly tough day for Dookie. Dookie had just spent the last week laying off all 27 of his staff, and that was the final night of his service before his restaurants had to shut down indefinitely. So I just want to say a huge thank you to Dookie for being so candid and transparent during this difficult time. Anyway, here is my conversation with Chef Dookie Hong. And if you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast so we can continue sharing these stories. Thank you for getting on the call with me. And first of all, how are you feeling right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm feeling a lot more questions than answers, I would say. And it's just happened very quickly. I think the first instinct that we went into is protective mode of our teams. And it ranges from, hey, we're going to push through and we're going to keep going, which many chefs share that sentiment, to, hey, I'm scared, to, I don't know what to do. And ultimately, hey, I'm tapped out. So it's been going back and forth because I think uncertainty is the only certain feeling I have right now.
You know, you've gone through a whole lot the last, I mean, it moved fast. It was like 2.5 weeks ago where the first case was reported. So this has been just a crazy 2 weeks for you. I think you were sharing with me yesterday that today is your last service for Sunday. How'd it go?
Like you said, it happened very quickly. 2 weeks ago, I was in Iceland with our team member, Dylan. And I remember the conversation vividly. We were excited. We're like, hey, when we go back, we're going to do this. We learned this from there. You know, the Iceland team wants to do this with us. Like, it was just like so much excitement filled initiatives and dreams and goals for our team. 2 weeks later is a very different story. And like I said, I think I mentioned it last night too. If you told me even a week and a half ago, hey, you're going to shut down all three. You're going to have to let go face to face and tell all 27 of your guys that you're not gonna have any work for them, I really would have been, what are you smoking? Like, come on. Like, there's no way. And many business owners can probably attest to that.
So when did you first realize that the coronavirus was going to be a serious issue for you?
I think the first time I realized it was going to be a serious issue was probably when I got the notice that a museum was closing. And the notice was also very quick. It wasn't, hey, you guys are closing next week, get ready. It was Thursday night and we were closed end of Friday. So we got to do one more service. Yeah, so it was pretty much like, hey, tomorrow is going to be your last service and we're going to shut it down. The whole museum, not only the restaurant. We had 14 members on the museum team. So pretty much that's, I think, when panic hits. How do you tell 14 of your team members? It's not even like a 2-week notice, you know, or even a week notice, forget that. And I think we've seen it and for about a month. We see what happened in Asia. COVID is not new, but it doesn't affect you that hard until it actually affects you that hard.
Right. I mean, what were those 24 hours like from getting the notice from the museum to the moment you had to close?
I think the initial 5 minutes was just paralysis, to be honest, if I'm just replaying it. I don't even remember. It wasn't even like, oh, we have to do this, we have to do that. It was like, it's just processing. And then you put on your kind of CEO and leader hat of a company and say, all right, what does that mean for our team? And that was hard. Luckily, Friday for us, all of our team shows up in different varying periods. So I had at least the privilege, or however way you want to call it, to do it in person. We sat down with every single one of them, heard their side. Hey, this is happening. Are you going to be okay? I think I said, are you going to be okay? So many damn times in a span of 36 hours, name by name.
How did you feel after those conversations?
I think this week I slept a total of probably less than 10 hours. I don't cry in public. It might be another Asian male thing or a stubborn Korean. I don't know. I don't think I'm that emotional person. This has been like an emotional beating, roller coaster as a chef, as any business owners can relate. Firing or letting somebody go is not new. You just don't expect to do it at that scale and all at once and abruptly.
So you had to, when you found out Thursday, you actually laid off all of your staff Friday?
Yeah, so after we kind of went through the gamut, there was probably about 8 people that, you know, that needs to pay rent. A lot of them actually provide for their parents. So not having a paycheck is not an option. We had 8 of them. So the decision was, okay, we need to make sure that our 8 team members, family members are fed and have hours to work, even if it comes at the financial cost. We're not making any money at this point because we've... the museum was our highest generating, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even like a what's your labor cost question. It's like, can we get them hours? Can we get a paycheck to them? Mm. And our whole approach was, we'll just expand the hours at the bakery. We'll start doing delivery. So I think our initial post on Instagram, if you saw, we had this whole 3-point plan and more hours, more shifts. So everyone was like, yeah, fired up. Let's do this. And that quickly faded very, very quickly.
So you had found out about it on Thursday. Friday, you guys shut down the Sunday at the museum. Mm-hmm. But you still have these other 2 restaurants. And what was the turning point when you just had to make the decision that you had to shut it down?
Yeah, and it's a great question. So I'm from New York, and we have that whole, to our detriment almost, that hustle, no matter what, push through that New York. You almost take pride in the grit. Sunday Bird, a lot of it was because we are inside Boba Guys. It's when they decided to shut, is we don't really have an option. The bakery, we partnered with a ministry upstairs, which is a men's home, and across the street, a women's home. There was a scare upstairs of somebody possibly being exposed to someone that's positive. It turned out not to be the case. Regardless, I think just even hearing that, recognizing that is a possibility, and then you start looking at your team and questioning, not even is it worth it, are you just being irresponsible? You know, and I think after that, which was on Tuesday, didn't sleep on Wednesday, and then Wednesday making the call like, hey, we're gonna shut it down this week. So yeah, it was pretty quick. It was excitement, hustle, high-fiving each other to no more. Like, let's not do this anymore in a matter of 5 days, 4 days. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to sound insensitive, but I could see people saying, why don't you just do delivery? Why don't you just do takeout? You know, like, mm-hmm. Why did you have to shut down all the way?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because the nature of what we're going through, it's not an economic. Yes, we're getting crushed economically, but the nature of it is it's a pandemic. It's well-being related. You being outside is a risk. And that's why this whole movement of staying home, it's real. Everybody, and I want to put that out there, that all 27 people definitely want to work right now. They would rather be doing anything for pay instead of being told to stay home. Mm-hmm. It's unprecedented. We're also American. So almost as Americans, you tell us to do something, we want to do the exact opposite. You know, you're not going to tell a bunch of Americans to let go of their freedom to go outside. But right now what's happening is it's a well-being issue. And at least for me, I can just speak on my team. It wasn't a lack of business. The shift wasn't even that hard for us to go delivery and takeout. Quite frankly, actually very easy. I can deal with it. Sucks and it's heartbreaking to know that one of my guys or 27 of my guys won't get a paycheck. It'll hit them financially. What I don't think, and what made me ultimately make that decision, was I don't think I can cope with the fact that I got somebody sick because they came to work, or they took public transportation, or they had contact with a customer, a guest at a delivery. That I don't know how to process. And let me just put that out there. I'm not knocking my friends and, you know, even your friend, a lot of our mutual friends that are doing the delivery and doing the hustle. I just ask that you do it safely. Think about every measure, even more so now. But for me, I'm too scared, if you want to put it that way. I'm too scared to push that any further. And I'll own that 100% as long as my team is safe.
I mean, what does that mean for your business? Like, does it mean that you're on hold and you're going to be okay and they'll all have a job in 2-3 months? Or I'm just trying to wrap my head up, you know, somebody who's not a restaurateur, I don't really understand. I would think you could just, you know, close shop for a few months and then come back.
It's a fair question. What it means, at least for us, is it's conserving as much as possible, telling anybody that we need to pay, like our vendors, landlords, insurance companies, for some deferment and just to work with us. And to our experience, and I can't speak to every small business owners, we've been very blessed in that regards, where everyone's like, we understand this is a pandemic. Just paid off in X days. Talking to a lot of my friends, they're not going to come out on the other side of it because their landlords may not be cooperative. This situation, this pandemic, is no one's impervious. I would even say in the 08 recession, it wasn't this bad. And it might be getting a little off topic, but I remember when I first started cooking a while ago, when I was a kid, my chef, I remember him saying vividly, like, we'll always have a job. At worst comes to worst, we'll always have a job because everyone needs to eat, right? Yeah, everyone needs to eat. Everyone needs to eat. And then you soon realize, and this past week, I'm like, yeah, everyone needs to eat, but they don't have to eat your food. They don't have to be a patron of your establishment. Worst comes to worst, we won't always have a job. And I'm just starting to question a lot of things and that I've been taught, where now I'm living it. It's shifting a lot of my foundations, which is might be a good thing in the future.
What is your reaction to how the government has been handling the situation?
The thing that I think about the most is, in times like this, we need a real leader. At the federal level, at the government level. For what it's worth, I think that's the one thing that we're missing. And I think because of that, we will pay. And the people that are going to end up paying are people like us. You know, and there's a lot of plans and there's a lot of hopefully good things that are coming. A lot of them seems like cheap fuel. I don't know if that's a correct or an apropos term, but it'll get you there. It'll do what it has to do. I just don't think it's sustainable.
And do you have any ideas of what would help you? Like, I've seen a lot of things about loans, but loans are only going to get you so far, as you said, where you have to pay them back. And then grants that you may get, you won't be able to get them until way later, and by then you may be gone.
Totally. That's a great point. I was speaking to our insurance company. I was like, hey, I'm going to spend X thousands of dollars a month when I'm not operating. I'm not generating income. Oh, but you know, you won't have workers' comp because you don't have payroll for 2 months, and then we'll audit it in October and you'll get a check back. I'm like, the assumption that you make that I'll make it to October is not a fair assumption. First of all, many restaurants and small businesses and people who are struggling have already closed, you know? And then there's a whole sector of people that are hanging by a thread. The biggest thing that I feel like would have to, yes, obviously some sort of bailout, but that happens a lot faster. pushing up that timeline, because it's not the fact that we need it. That's obvious. We need it now.
In terms of, you know, runway, it sounds like most of your friends who are in the restaurant industry don't have the runway to get through this time.
Exactly. The scary thing about this isn't the capital part of it. It's the uncertainty part of it. It's the, there's no guarantee that it's a month. There's no guarantee that it's 2 months. And for us, if you were like, hey, this is going to be all done in whatever, even 2 months, right? We can plan for it. You know, we can get a loan. We can, there's some sort of a timeline. Everyone's trying to build their war chest because, you know, it might be 6 months. When things go back to normal, I don't think people are going to come out of it like, great, I'm ready to spend money now. I'm ready to be, you know, I think it's going to take a while even for people to just, the aftershock of it, getting to a point where they can even gather and meet friends are like, are we allowed to gather now? Is this even safe? So you're rebuilding these things where 2 weeks ago it was just norm. We weren't even thinking about it, you know? So I think it's going to take time, and that's the scary part.
At what point do you think, and I don't even want to ask this question, but at what point do you give up on the business?
That's a very real question to a lot of, and I'm sure a lot of small business owners, restaurant owners, or big business owners, it doesn't matter. We've sacrificed a lot, and I think that's what hurts more, is there's no such thing as retirement for me. But for the first time ever, I think I'm like, wait, this is not a guarantee. It's actually a privilege to serve people. It's a privilege to lead people. My answer to that is I'm never going to give it up. Sunday may not come out of this on the other side, but at the end of the day, that means I'm hustling away and gathering more and rebuilding from the start. 3 years ago, it was just me and a prep cook named Sergio. And 3 years later, we have 27 people that I'm privileged to look after and look after their livelihood and be a part of their team. So however long it takes to rebuild it, we'll rebuild it.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Sergio and your staff now. What does this mean for them?
I think that's the actual question. You know, I think for worst case scenario for me is when this all blows over, I take a little break. I just kind of like eat my pride and just go get some high paying chef job at a place that I don't really care about. Not my name on the door. Great. It doesn't really matter. It's not that bad for me. For my team, it's different. I have many, if not most of our team, they're not culinarily trained. They're not hospitality majors. Because of that, it's very uncertain for them. There's people in our group with kids. Darnell is one of them. All he talks about is his daughters or the Lakers. So I was just thinking about him. He's had a rough couple months with Kobe, the season being over. And then his daughter, he texts me quite a bit on, hey, do you need me to do this? Do you need me to do that? And it's heartbreaking because you only have one answer now, which is I don't have anything yet. So that's why you'll see a lot of chefs campaigning for funds. And none of it is so they can go build another restaurant. They can go to vacation. It's strictly for their staff. The government relief and a lot of that incomplete, we feel like. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that you guys started a GoFundMe for your staff. Mm. It just sounds like you would do anything to make this work. Where's your mindset on that?
I think you nailed it. When you have a team built, and I could attest for a lot of my friends' teams, they make you who you are. They allow you to do the things that you do. I think for us now is the time as leaders where we have to step up. You know, we have to look after our teams, our families. So yeah, we've known each other for a little bit now and us being both Asian males. And I don't know if you agree, but asking for help isn't something that's encoded in us, I feel like, naturally. It's embarrassing, to be honest, if I'm just being real with you. Thinking about posting that took me 3 days, 4 days. Many times, like, nah, I can't do this. Like, it's like putting myself out there too much. And the GoFundMe, the approach of that was a lot of these unemployment, government relief, grants, loans, it's there 100%. It's just slow. But my guy is texting me, hey, my daughter needs this. You know, I'm eating one meal a day, so my daughter eats two. When you hear that, you need it now. They need something next week. Outside of me, which we have, asking, you know, friends for money, that's what it was. Maybe the community will support. Maybe the patrons, maybe the people that we've served throughout the years, maybe we'll flip the table and they'll be open to serving us. I don't think our team wanted, I put all their names down and they're like, chef, come on. Like, and I was like, dude, I didn't put the last name. No one, there's like 70 Darnells in San Francisco alone. But I think they appreciated that there's someone looking out for them and mm-hmm. asking, shamelessly asking their friends, their family for money. These are things that I'll do 100 times over, just like many other chefs, many other leaders, small business mm-hmm. owners. If you were like, hey, if you do this, they're good. Name it. We'll do it.
Yeah, you had mentioned gift cards, you know, contributing to GoFundMe, this kind of podcast thing yes. that we're doing. Those things help. Anything else that you would suggest that people can do to help their local mm. restaurants that they love?
Biggest thing is, and as crude as it sounds, right now, I guess not even right now, always, cash is king. And if worse comes to worse, just even, like I said, even a text, just like a thought. It goes a long way. You did that for me today. When people are hurt, they just want someone to talk to, a shoulder to cry on, whatever that is. So be that person. Just be kind. Because, yeah, there's a lot of hurt people right now.
What was the hardest thing that you had to go through in this time?
The hardest point, or probably rock bottom, it's always the people part. The food part. If somebody slams my food or it's just something, it's fine. You know, I get it. I'm not perfect and my food doesn't appease everybody. The biggest compliment that I love, more so than, oh man, that was the best dish I've ever eaten, was, man, your team is on point. Man, you know, I spoke to Rachel and she remembered my name. And I've said it in a post. I've shared it with people where I've probably been the most heartbroken, but also the most fulfilled in a weird way. This past week, after we've kind of made the call, one of our team members works in a hospital. And they're like, hey, they're not doing so hot, you know, or they're overworked. So we're like, all right, let's go bring them food. That turned into, let's see if anybody else needs food. And when we opened up our eyes and widened our scope a little bit, a lot of people were hurting. The elderly organizations, the homeless now more, and definitely the medical workers in front. So for our team, we actually doubled down on serving. And at least for a week, it was a distraction. Today was our last day and nobody, you know, you expect like a crying, all that. Yesterday was a little bit like that, but today was like, hey, let's finish strong. Let's serve these other three organizations. It was great not focusing on maybe the situation, all knowing that next week they're not going to get a paycheck.
I do want to ask, you know, what's next for you? You know, today was your last service. Do you start playing the guitar or
you're gonna make what are you going to do? What do you mean, what's next? Let me soak it in a little bit. Restaurants is what I do and what I love to do. So I might go back and just start fixing stuff, rearranging the spice rack alphabetically. I don't know. I'll do something because I'm hopeful that the Sunday family will continue to serve people for years to come. You know, this is a group of people that at the end of the day, when we gather together and almost celebrate us getting through the other end of this, this is a team that got through a freaking pandemic. It's something to celebrate. And you feel very similarly. I know you're leading your team. I know you just started Watcher, which is incredible. I think when you were first thinking about it, starting it, that's when we connected. I have no doubt you'll do this, if not more, to protect your squad. So I think you fully understand what many people are going through right now.
Well, thank you so much, Dookie, for coming on.
Awesome.
Yeah, I want to send all the love to your staff. Can't imagine what, not just them, right? Like the staff, restaurant staff, all across the U.S. right now who are exactly. impacted.
I appreciate that, man. And once again, thank you so much for many things, but for being who you are, being a friend, being a real friend, and everyone's hurting. And the biggest thing is hopefully what stems from this is a lot of empathy.
Alrighty. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. If you want to contribute to Dookie's GoFundMe, you can actually find the link in our description. And if you have any suggestions for future episodes or feedback for us, you can email us at hello@watcherentertainment.com. Finally, I would be remiss if I did not ask, but please subscribe and we would appreciate if you could rate us on wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, the moon, anywhere. Please give us 5 stars as that is how people find out more about our podcast and we want to make sure that everybody hears these stories. Thank you so much and I'll talk to you very soon. Bye.